have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Hey, welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I am here live with Jason Kasten from Colorado, beautiful Loveland, Colorado, where Group Publishing's headquarters. We are live Periscoping this podcast, and so we're getting questions on Periscope, and we'll answer those later on in the podcast. But Jason, tell us a little bit about the eConnect conference and what it's been like over the last couple of days.
eConnect conference has been fun. We've poured into a group of people coming from all around the country, and just the topics we've been able to teach them over the last couple of days has been something that's been very beneficial. And so overall, I mean, it was just a good time, and I think everybody enjoyed themselves.
Yeah, it's been fun, and you and I love just to get together and talk technology. I got to see another side of you, though, because we twice have driven through the mountains of Colorado. So we're right here by Estes Park, and we went tonight for dinner. Bob took us out, and when Brian Abbott took us, got some barbecue. We went high. Tell us what went through your mind as we drove through the mountains.
Those mountains and those quick turns and all that stuff is a death trap. So they wanted to go up there and look in the mountains and go all the way up to the top in Estes Park and the rest of these places that nobody should go to. But we did go up there. We had some good barbecue. And then on the way back down, Bob decided he just wanted to drive like a madman maniac and hit as many turns as possible. And so we made it safely, though, luckily.
Yeah. Well, and the first day we got here, you and I went down, just you and I.
We pulled
off the road, decided we were going to venture down the river. And I remember one of these areas where we went right on the edge. Like, there's no rail, there's no anything. And you're like, yeah, I think we got it. And then I remember your voice got real high, real quick.
Yeah. I was recording the video on the side, and then I screamed. So I actually have the video that we can load that up and show somebody that video as well. But yeah, I did scream.
Yeah, so we've had a good experience, and it's always fun to get to partner and speaking to church leaders face-to-face, really dug into some basics of technology. But it's good as we step back and some things that you and I think about on a daily basis, but really looking at. There are so many things in church life and even in mega churches and bigger churches and people that are kind of the experts, you lose your focus on some of the little things. And your church website is really the core of your communication and that kind of, I don't know that I'd call it the front door anymore because I almost feel like social media is kind of the front door, but that website is still that point of contact before people come to your physical campus. Almost everybody goes to your website. Mm-hmm. So you did two sessions on the website.
Yeah.
You talked about websites and you talked online giving. And so those go together. Talk a little bit about what just some general best practices when it comes to church websites that you see and that you got to share here at the conference.
So one of the main things we talked about was one, how important websites were. Just some of the key stats was 75% of people before they step foot in your building, check out your website first or check out your online presence first. And one of the key things was making it mobile responsive. Think mobile first. And when you're putting your website together and how people are connecting with you, it's not traditionally do desktops or laptops like it was in the past. And so with the group that we had and a lot of the leaders we speak into, they're older. So we're trying to educate them on how to reach this younger demographic and continue to grow their church offline and online. And so we have to let them know that this is the way you have to change your mindset, especially when it comes to websites and the way we interact with them. Key areas that we talked about as far as them connecting and what to look at first was like service times, contacts, information, location, and a quick way to get to online giving, a quick way to get to the live sermon, quick way to talk about the children's church and how important the children's ministry is, and then have an I Am New section for people who have never been to your website. All these things seem really normal for someone who attends the church, but for a new user, This is not stuff they can easily find. And we, you know, the churches or the leaders that attended, looking at their websites, it's just this wasn't something that was common knowledge to them. And so it was good that we were able to remind them that these key things that you know are basic to you are very important for growing your audience. And then just from there, in going into the online donations, how to make that easy, but tie that into the website seamlessly. All these things tying together was just something that wasn't as easily something they could come by and learn and to do until we were able to kind of break it down for them. And that was one of the main things of the conference.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the things we often say to church leaders is that if you're not relevant in person, getting on the internet does not make you relevant. And right. So we had some people saying, well, teach us how we came here to learn how to use technology to make our church more relevant to the millennials and to these younger people that aren't coming to church. And so what can we do to make our church more relevant? And we had to be real honest with them of, yeah, if your church isn't relevant right now, going on the internet isn't going to make them more relevant. And that's just that's just a personal passion you and I have, and frustration. Honestly, I wouldn't say a passion, but a frustration we have, yeah, is that people think the internet's just kind of this magic tool that all of a sudden become relevant.
It's the pixie dust. You just sprinkle that on whatever your problem or situation is, and the internet or the interwebs will fix it.
Yeah. You know, one of the big shifts, so we did this conference about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. We talked about mobile sites a year and a half ago, and it was important a year ago. Now it's critical. And so mobile responsive, and really, like, that's not a bonus. That's an essential when it comes to a website. And so, when you think about a website, and you showed stats today that most churches have more mobile viewers than they have, a tablet or a desktop or laptops going to their church website. And so it really is critical to have a strong mobile presence. So let me give you a scenario. So a smaller church, and so we're often maybe used to bigger budgets and scalable projects. And we have, maybe a full-time web developer. Most churches don't have full-time web developers and they don't have a big budget. So say a church has a $500 budget to build a website. Where would you spend that money? How would you allocate that money to get that church the best website they can have that's going to really be effective in communicating to their community?
We're looking at $500 budget. And don't forget, the personal Periscope asked about Apple TV. So we got
We'll talk about Apple TV.
Absolutely.
Later.
And Google Chromecast. If we're looking at $500, the best way to start building your website is actually, I think with $500, you could build a website and an app. Really. So that's your website, your mobile website, your desktop website, your mobile website, and your app all for that amount. So let's talk about how we can do that. We got two options. With a website, we could either look at using something like a free solution like WordPress or Squarespace, which we could start as low as $8 $8 a month, which is about $96 a year. Then we need a nice design. If you look at a theme on WordPress, they usually run about $40, $50. Mm-hmm. If you use Squarespace, they have themes already built in. So that's the whole gist of your website as far as the actual design and look and layout and feel of it right there. And that's mobile responsive. All those themes we're talking about are mobile responsive.
Right.
Now you need the content that you got to pull from different church members and church departments as far as about the actual ministry. And then once you get all that together, you got to get some photos and stuff like that. Maybe you need to get some stock photography. And I think you can get that was it free sites you talked about earlier?
There's some out there. I don't know them off the top of my head.
Well, so right now we're still at about $100.
Yeah.
So if we're looking at the other $400 that you wanted to spend, then now let's look at how you can take this website that you already have and put together and looks professional, because Squarespace is actually a good product. WordPress has some really good themes.
Yeah.
And a lot of these professional churches and mega churches out here are using WordPress themes. Don't think they're not.
Right. Right.
Then you start looking at your mobile website, which you can have built what was the one you named today? It was something 3.com.
Aware 3.
Aware3.com, where it's $50 a month for to have your mobile app put together and no startup fee. But so we haven't even got close to $500 yet. Mm-hmm. And we have a mobile site and an app already done. So when you're looking at stuff like that, the cost for a lot of churches is not so much as the actual financial cost, even though their budgets are restricted. it's the knowledge barrier of how do I find out how to do look like a mega church on a mini church budget. And that's where you come in contact with people like me and Nils. And we're trying to tell you guys, hey, we work with mega churches, but we know how to do these things for a fraction of what it looks like it costs.
Yeah. And so at CBC, we're WordPress, you know, we have a custom built WordPress theme. But you can get similar themes, you know, that aren't custom like ours, that work great, that look great. You know, for pennies on what it costs to have that custom theme.
Oh, I didn't tell them the site. I forgot to tell you the site. The site is themeforest.net. That's where a lot of these large mega churches get their themes from. And then they have a designer on staff that'll customize it. Which, but the themes out the box look like high-end templates. So you're looking at the template for Squarespace.com, multi-million dollar company, is a theme that I saw on ThemeForest for $49, the exact same theme. And so then you see a church like one of the churches I really love, Stephen Furtick's church, Elevation Church.
Right.
Their site is built on a theme. That site is amazing.
Right.
But it's built on a theme. So therefore, you just look at, you're finding these themes, these low-end, low-cost solutions, and then you start customizing to make them for look and feel for your church. But again, themeforest.net. Start there for WordPress.
So another one is churchthemes.com. Has custom built for the church themes for about $100. Pretty nice. I used it for one project. I struggled with some of the flexibility, but as you know, in the conversations we've had, I've jumped from WordPress, and I'm using Squarespace as much as possible.
You're a traitor.
Social Media Church podcast site is on Squarespace. Nilsmith.com is built on Squarespace.
Yeah.
And what I love about it is it can't break. So all these sites that I had on WordPress, I always want to tweak them and do stuff to them.
Yeah.
And I pull in all these plugins, and then one plugin goes wrong and it seems like it'll break the site.
Yeah, take the whole thing down.
So Church Themes, though, does have a good solution with a lot of moving parts and pieces to it that they're providing ongoing support. And so I really do it. It is a service that I recommend. While it didn't work for me in the project I was using it for, I do think on a tight budget, if you know how to set up the hosting or can work with GoDaddy and do some of that, it can be a really good solution for your church. So let's shift with the website giving, and I want to talk about Apple TV a little bit. But let's shift to online giving. So that was kind of the second part of your talk or second session you did.
Yes.
It's kind of e-commerce, online giving. But let's specifically talk about online giving. Where do you feel like churches are really missing the opportunity or making the biggest mistakes in their online giving experience?
Online giving, we're seeing the issues lie in the first. We talked about online security. Mm-hmm. Churches just don't have online security experts. They're not thinking about that, but they know when Target got hacked, they know when Home Depot got hacked. And so they know that type of stuff because that affected them personally. But you have to have a secure online giving platform and experience. Mm-hmm. So with that, this SSL certificates, making sure it's secure, all that good stuff. But additionally, you want to have an online giving experience that mimics what people are used to doing online, which is Amazon. Amazon has the best online experience. We know it so much so that, you know, with Nils and being in great New York, he can order something and have it at his door within 2 hours.
2 hours.
But I mean, that experience is what you're looking for. So when you're looking for your online experience, you want to have something that's easy. Even if you're using PayPal, which is a free solution, then, you know, you can at least have PayPal built into some type of online form, like a Jot form or a Woo form. That way, so people are filling out a form and it looks similar to what they're used to doing online. Which any site that they're using to pay online, they put in their information, then they click submit, and then it finishes the payment process. And that's how the churches would do. The churches right now, either they don't know how to do any online solutions and they have nothing, or it looks janky, so you don't want to give your money online. Or, you know, it's the example I use where I was working with a church and it was a 17-step process. Yeah. And nobody will do anything if it takes from the time you hit give 17 steps to the time it actually comes out of your account. There's nothing you would do. No grocery store you would go to if by the time you got in the lane to check out, it took 17 steps for you to get your food in your bags and walk out. Nobody's doing that. But the church wants people to support them financially. They just don't make it easy. It should really be click an easy button. I give you my money. You let me support you. And then we go on about life.
Right. So here's my recommendation to churches with that, because I'm hesitant when it comes to giving, to give too many recommendations of what to do because this is complicated, you know, and this is, you know, there's a lot with it. And I've made a lot of mistakes, and I'm sure you've made some mistakes along the way because things have changed.
Had to learn
so much. But here's what I would do. I would go to 10 churches, take 1 hour tomorrow or today or whenever you want, pick 10 churches and give them $1 a piece and see what the experience is like as you give to those 10 churches. Write down some notes of what you liked or what you didn't like, what took long for a while and what didn't take a while. And typically those experiences, you'll see it probably pushes out to that platform. So whether that's Secure Give or Push Pay or, you know, whatever, there's lots of them out there.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's their database system. It processes through that. But see which one you really like and then either use that company or find a solution similar to that and really say, this is the kind of experience that we want. And some of it is even in the follow-up emails that you get or the those kind of systems. But create a great giving experience. It's not just how, you know, do you have online giving, but what is your online giving experience? And so
people want to track their giving too as well. They also want to know how much did I give throughout the year for tax purposes,
right,
or just knowing how much they gave to support the ministry and stuff like that. Oh, the last thing we forgot was online giving. People want to see that their finances that they gave actually supported some ministry initiatives. So you want to be transparent. And this is for church leaders, church volunteers, et cetera. Be transparent in what you're doing with the money. You're not telling them everything you do, but be transparent to show them that some of the campaigns that they supported actually have a tangible outcome that they can see and relate to, so that it'll encourage them to get on board with the next campaign. So, I mean, I don't know how churches you've been to. I've been to churches growing up where the building fund has been going on for 50 years. My grandma gave to the same building fund that my mom gave to, that I gave to, and there's no new building. There's not even a new doorknob to support anything. So you just got to keep that in mind.
That's good. That's good. Well, let's, I want to turn the conversation a little bit. I want to get to the Apple TV question. And, but before we do that, and we didn't talk about this beforehand, but if I could put you on the spot a little bit, you are now a client of mine, in my new service, Amplify Social Media.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Maybe share, you know, with the podcasters a little bit, what the experience has been like and what you expected and what you've experienced. And, you know, we just got this thing off the ground. I don't even know if I promoted it here on the podcast.
No, you don't really talk about all that you do. And you don't.
And so
I can do it though.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe share a little bit of what that experience has been like for you.
Okay. Amplify Social was, it helps build your, social platforms, and we'll focus on just your Twitter platform, helping build your Twitter audience,
right,
using actual, tangible, you know, genuine marketing methods, usually helping you follow people on Twitter that are along the lines of people that are similar to influencers that you may follow, right, and their audiences. But basically, you're building your audience up organically, but at a hyper speed. So I have my platform, which is iChurch Method, and I signed up for Amplify Social. And basically, you just saw my audience continually grow double over the last, I'm going to say 2 months.
Right.
I say about 2 months.
Right.
My audience online has doubled.
And how long has that platform existed before now?
Oh, prior to you, prior to signing up with you, I probably had it for, let's say, maybe 3 years.
Okay.
And 3 years worth of growth, and I've duplicated in 2 months.
Wow.
And that's including engagement and just the entire audience size, and then of course visibility. And so basically, I mean, the platform, and I told Nils when I got here and I got to town, I said, hey, you're on to something big with this. He obviously doesn't talk about it, all the stuff he has going on. So he has friends like me who will tell you, you want to grow your online platform, specifically Twitter, and even more so in the future, Instagram, then you want to use Amplify Social. And of course, they'll tell you more about it in the future. But I'm telling you, it works. And if you don't believe me, go check out on Twitter at iChurchMethod and look at the size of my audience. And the growth has been great.
Yeah, very good. Well, I appreciate you sharing that. So you can check out more at amplifysocial.media. AmplifySocial.media and get more information about it. It's a solution I've been using for clients for a couple of years and on my own Twitter account and just trying to, you know, start making it available some, to some other folks. It is not buying fake Twitter followers. It is, you know, it is not a scam in any way. It's a really strategic, you know, kind of copy follow strategic marketing initiative. But the problem for most people is you don't have enough time. You know, you're a busy guy.
Yeah.
And so I've got built a team of folks that are going there and doing the tedious process of this copy follow system. And it's helped a lot of social networks, you know, people's social media platforms grow. So I'm excited to offer it to a lot of people. I have a hard time with self-marketing. People that listen to this podcast might disagree because we do talk about a lot of different things that we do. But I am excited about the solution and hearing, you know, so many other stories like yours. So let's get to the question that we had on Periscope here about the Apple TV. You and I both got our Apple TVs the day we left, or it showed up, you know, yours showed up right before you left.
Yeah.
Mine got there like hours before I left for this trip. We're going to both get home and open up our Apple TVs here in a day or two. What do you think about the new Apple TV without having opened it? What are you dreaming about and thinking about?
Well, the first thing I'm thinking about is the business opportunities for it. Now I know there are platforms and you know of a few that you're working with. I have a few that I'm working with where we can help churches or any organizations get on Apple TV quickly. Roku was initially where we started, but now we can help them get on Apple TV, you know, just as easily as we help them get on any other platform. That's a business opportunity. So we're not only talking about it, using it as ourselves, but we can help our clients get on it as well. Additionally, just as far as from the platform being able to use it, you know, I'm looking forward to it being a full internet TV solution. I don't know if it's there yet, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. And between them and Roku and Google Chromecast, it's now a much, much more regular type of battle between them three as far as who's going to take control of the living room, you know. Yeah. And I think Apple took a good step forward.
Yeah. What's a bigger deal in your mind, Apple Watch or Apple TV?
I'd say, wow, that's a good question. I use my Apple TV a lot, but the new Apple Watch, the new Watch OS 2 was really good because it made it much more customized. So I used it a lot more. That's a good one. I have to open up the Apple TV and see now because I haven't opened it up yet. So I can't answer that. The watch I use a lot now. It tells me when actually to stand up, which is much more important than anything else for me who sits at the computer for hours at a time. So that actually helps. And then, of course,
you probably could have gotten a cheaper technology to tell you to stand up than a $400
watch. But here's
the
better thing, though. Whoa, it's Apple. So I had to have it no matter what.
I understand.
But I can actually act like I'm paying attention when I'm talking to someone and still be just really check my watch real quick and see notifications because I never disconnect. So anything that can help me, you know, stay online and act like I'm paying attention to whoever's in front of me is always a plus.
Yeah. I'm with you. I love the Apple Watch. I think the Apple TV is a much bigger deal, but I haven't opened it up yet.
Yeah.
And the truth is we've seen the Apple Watch come a long way in the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And I think the Apple TV, it's not what's happening today. I think it's what we're going to see in 6 months with all the new apps. But it is incredibly exciting. As you know, Jay and I are working on a project with tvapp.church to make an affordable Apple TV solution available to churches. And so we're making some exciting progress every day with that. And so we're excited to get to share things. And this podcast will be the first place to know about that solution as it's available. But if you go to tvapp.church, we're going to be giving away on January 1 a brand new Apple TV, one of the new ones, not the old ones. And so we will, you know, so everyone who signs up and joins that list will be entered into that drawing to win an Apple TV. And then they'll be the first ones to know when they can purchase an Apple TV. And so everyone on that list will kind of be in a priority order of who gets access to those apps. So they'll kind of come and, you know, first five people will get some and so on and so forth. So we're excited about that solution. So go check that out at tvapp.church. Jason, thanks for taking the time. It's fun to hang out with you here in Colorado. So you can follow Jason on Twitter at Jason Kasten. Go to socialmedia.church for the show notes and we'll have a link to his website and the 200 other ways that you can connect with him online. Thanks for listening to this podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.